Institute.
How's it going, guys?
How the hell are you?
How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Guys, what's going on? How are you doing? Listen, I just want to say thank you so much to every single person who was listening to this podcast week in, week out, and showing us some love at the Weekly Roast. If you enjoy the show, the greatest thing, the greatest compliment you can give me is, well, obviously you could send me a message on Instagram and give me a compliment at Meagan Mark, but also you could share the podcast with a friend of yours. It is the greatest way and the main way that our show will grow. So if you enjoy the podcast, please share it with a friend. Furthermore, if you're new to the podcast, here's a little brief overview of how it works. The Weekly Roast is effectively Ireland's confession box, where every single week I choose a different aspect, subculture, or part of Irish modern culture, and we completely dismantle it. All of the voices that you hear on the podcast are your own. I accept contributions on my Instagram every Sunday. People send in their voice notes, and then we distort their voices to make them anonymous, giving everybody the sort of cloak of anonymity to encourage them to come forward, and spill their truths. That's how it works. If you have any more questions, hit me up on Instagram at Meagan Mark. Guys, it's great to be here. Emma Nolan, of course, sitting here just to my right. Emma, when did you lose? No. did you catch any baddies on the weekend?
Did I what?
Did you catch any baddies?
Any baddies?
Did your dad catch any baddies? Your dad's a copper.
He retired 12 years ago.
Does he still have his badge and stuff?
I don't know. I haven't seen his badge in a long time. I remember seeing his badge in my day when it would be lying around. And the old, what was it called? The kind of wooden batten thing.
Was it battens? Yeah, it wasn't like that thing that you whipped.
No, I don't think it was an advanced in his day, but there was the wooden battens. I do remember them lying around.
Yeah.
Not lying around, but
not like he didn't have a tray of them in a velvet in a velvet thing just beside his bed. They were smaller than your usual batten. They were around 4.5 inches and rubbery. One of them vibrated. We don't see Dad much these days. Nevertheless,
I loved it because you'd wake up on a Saturday morning and it just became so normal to look out your window. We lived in the country, like driveway out the back kind of a thing.
You'd look
out the window.
And the trampoline, back. By the way, always the fucking tramp. What
always
is it a prerequisite if you live in rural Ireland to have a trampoline? Is it to make up for the lack of Wi-Fi or something? Just
there'd be a trampoline, a horse and about 4 squad cars on a Saturday morning.
Right. Do you know who's, just before we start today's podcast?
Yeah.
Do you know who, and this is going to seem like a completely unwarranted go, right?
Go on.
But you know who I really hate?
Who?
My Aunt Brenda, right? She was diagnosed, Teddy Swims.
Why do you hate Teddy? He's lovely.
We've enough of Teddy Swims. Teddy Swims. Teddy Swims across the Irish fucking sea every 2 weeks. He's here more than I am. What is this? You can't swing a cat in the Irish media landscape these days without seeing Teddy Swims. Teddy Swims. Yeah. Teddy sinks pints and grogans more than your average Dublin wanker. I mean, the guy needs to just... Do you not find it? He's everywhere?
No, honestly, I don't get me wrong. I like.
Oh, Teddy has tattoos. That's basically it.
Teddy likes teddies, and Teddy has tattoos. I went to my safe place, which is an Australian radio show that I like listening to a podcast.
Right.
On. And who was there the other day?
Fucking Teddy Swims.
Talking about tattoos.
But it's only because he looks like that, by the way. If his name was Ralph Murphy and he didn't have any tats, and he was just like, "Yeah, I've got that one really annoying song gone." What's the song again?
Lose Control.
What is that? The one that goes
the door.
It's real Gardy, Slane Castle, Wrangler jeans, base loaf and loafer, base London loafers. The fucking pint of cider swinging all over the chest. The Tommy Hilfiger jumper. The aviator sunglasses on the back of the head. The face scalded. Do you know what I mean? The pink Stetson pleather leggings beside you. Lose control. Do you know what I mean?
That's the worst bit though.
When they're trying to do the falsetto. Good luck. Let's go. I'm just going to get straight into it today. It is insane house habits. There are some genuinely insane things in today's episode. The middle of the podcast is a sort of United Nations section where there's lots of stuff about the Spanish. So lo siento if there's any Spanish people listening. Nothing against the Spanish, but you know, there's lots of stuff about the Spanish. Pretty much from the get-go in today's show, it's sloppy enough. So let's go.
My mom was like, one like now is OCD or something. She's just obsessed with cleaning the house. But when the dog would make to go to the toilet before he'd come back in, she'd have him wait at the door, and like he knew at that stage, wait at the door, hand her one paw at a time, she'll clean his paws, and then he'd turn around, she'd wipe his bum, and then he'd be allowed into the house. And this was like, as you can imagine, multiple times a day when the dog goes out to go to the toilet. And if we didn't do it, she'd be raging. But very funny.
So wait there, does she say if we didn't do it, she'd be raging? Does she mean like the mum would be raging if they didn't stick their paws and arses out at the door whenever they came home? Like, it's just, you can't be wiping your dog's hole.
No, I think that's a very fair comment. I don't think you should be wiping your dog's hole.
At the beginning of a child's life, you have to wipe their hole. And oftentimes at the end of somebody else's life, you have to wipe their hole. But there's usually like a sweet spot between the ages of like 20 and maybe whatever, 50 or 60, where you just don't have to. The only hole that you have to take control of is your own hole. Wipe your own hole. Wiping a dog's hole is just, no.
And also, I think I'm very new to this dog ownership world. And in fairness...
And wiping your hole, brilliant.
Yeah, but they kind of keep themselves fairly clean.
Like, do they?
Do they? I don't think...
I don't know. I don't lift Bertie's high legs up and have him spread eagle across my... I don't inspect the anus.
Well, you see, when my dog's walking in front of me, all I can see is his anus.
Oh, because he's got one of those, up. Like, yeah, an orangutan.
Yeah.
Hang. Yeah, okay. It is... I just feel like with dog ownership, okay, we are in... We're peak now. We've reached new... And I love dogs. I have inherited, as many of you will know, a dog called Bertie from my wife, and it's the greatest inheritance of all time. Like, I am... So it's, I would become emotional talking about the dog. I love him so much. I'm not actually, but I do love the dog more than pretty much anything. And there are very few scenarios in which I'd be willing to wipe his arse. Like, I remember one of the first weekends I was minding him. This is back when me and Darren, like, were just seeing each other.
Right.
And she had to do something. Anyway, long story short, I minded Bertie. He was quite sick. I was like, this is the worst way to begin a relationship, is like if the dog, like on my watch,
dies.
So I was like, fuck this. Brought Bertie down to the vet, who shall remain nameless, this particular vet. She was very quick to feel his arse.
Was she?
Just like, there's an element with some animal people, and I'm sure you will all agree, like there's an element of, he's here for a toothache. Do you know what I mean? Are you sure you need to go elbow deep there on a King Charles? You're practically scratching the back of his tonsils with your fingernails. Like, do you know what I mean? There's an element of perversion. Anybody that was willing to go near an animal's arse, do you know? But then again, if you're from, how else are you supposed to lose your virginity? I don't know. You can't. You absolutely can't. Let's go.
So growing up, did every Irish house have the book basin? So anytime someone had a bug in the house, they would be laid up on the sofa with the book basin beside them. And this was basically just any bowl that was in the house, but everyone knew it was, you know, the book bowl. And it was the same bowl that was then used to, you know, make the batter for Pancake Tuesday or to bake in.
That sort of accent there. Does anybody else have the book basin? It sounds sort of like Billy.
Billy, yeah.
My name's Billy. Do you want to hear have I ever told the story in the podcast?
Which?
Oh my God, a Billy Connolly story.
No, go on.
Well, this is a bit of a break from the norm.
Okay.
Okay. My uncle, okay, rest in peace, John, died of a brain tumour about 10 years ago. And he lived in New York for most of his life, okay? Mm-hmm. He was in recovery and he was like, whatever. He was an absolute, I loved the man. He used to smoke cigars because he didn't obviously go to bars and stuff. He was in recovery, blah, blah, blah. He used to always tell me growing up that he knew Billy Connolly, because whenever Billy Connolly, who was also in recovery, would go to this cigar bar in New York, and they'd always just shoot the shit and whatever.
Yeah.
And he'd always like, and I never really believed him. After knowing Billy Connolly for like, you know, he'd see him every time he came in, like every few months over a period of like 5 years. Eventually one night my Uncle John and him are like still there, like 1 a.m, just the two of them. And he goes, Billy, you're going to hate me, but can I tell you a story? Can I tell you a joke?
Okay.
And Billy's like, go on. Anyway, John tells him this joke and apparently Billy loved it. So John used to always say to us growing up, oh, Billy Connolly loves my joke, and he used it in a show, and we were like, yeah, 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 good luck, John, you know, whatever. Fast forward to whenever John got diagnosed with cancer in 20, whatever, I don't know, maybe 2013 or, no, it wasn't, it was probably earlier, it was probably around 2012. Anyway, he came back to Ireland to get into the Irish health system. And Billy Connolly came up in conversation, and he produces, John produces this DVD, Billy Connolly Live Down Under, and he goes, I've got this joke, and it was told to me by a guy called Irish John. I used to be, you know, blah, blah, blah in New York. So we were like, oh my God, he wasn't actually lying. Like, this is amazing. Okay. A few months later, this is when it gets, this is so lovely, right? A few months later, John was really deteriorating quite quickly, and he was sort of close to the end. It was like that final stage of his illness. And Billy Connolly was coming to Dublin to do a show. Coincidentally, Billy had just actually been diagnosed with, I think, prostate cancer and dementia in within a very short space of time. Long story short, somebody that knew my uncle reached out to Billy and was like, listen, you remember Irish John? He's actually back in blah, blah, blah in Dublin because of this cancer or whatever. You know, maybe he could go to the show or whatever. Billy's people reached out to John and were like, here's, we want you to go into the gig and whatever, front row, blah, blah, blah. So he goes, has the night of his life. On the way out, somebody just touches John. He's like, sorry, will you actually just come here for a second? And they bring him up to a room, which is like a private bar. Everybody was kicked out. They just let John in. Billy comes in, lights off, lit up two cigars. Is that not the nicest thing that you have ever heard in your entire life?
I think I'm going to start crying.
Like, I'll come back to the weekly roast. So.
Oh, Mark.
That is like.
Incredible.
The not, like, what a just unbelievably good guy.
What a beautiful story.
Like, so.
I like my heart's doing not going 90 here.
And now we're going to have to talk about someone not changing their jocks or something. So it's sort of a little bit of a shift in the tones. But long story short.
Respect.
Billy Connolly, what a fucking legend.
Do you know the joke?
It's too long. It's about, I think it's one of those really, but it's really long.
Will you tell us next week?
I'll find it. Yeah, there you go. Homework. Let's
okay,
go.
Okay, let's do it.
Morning. So when we were young and anytime we'd have something kind of spicy for dinner, straight away after finishing dinner, my dad would get up and go over and wash his head in the kitchen sink using fairy liquid.
Like.
And his reasoning was because his head was sweaty from the spicy food.
Okay, there's no reasoning involved there. What you've just told us is that your dad is essentially a golden retriever. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, sorry, just, sorry, don't worry, kids. Don't worry about this manic sort of stomping over to the sink. I'm just washing my hair with fairy liquid. Does he drag his fists through the River Lee when walking through Cork City on a summer's day? Do you know what I mean? Does he find a nice shaded part of the front drive and lay there panting for hours on end? Like, does he get up on the legs of strangers after a few cans of Tanora? This is just This is not a good sort of reflection of Cork. And actually, I'm going to be in Cork for the next few days. I can't wait. But like, this is, if that's what he does in around, well, public, I suppose, he's still with his family. Imagine what else he does.
Mm. And also, it's a bit of a reach to need the sweaty head number one, fairy liquid number two.
Yeah.
Not needed.
Also, order a bolognese. If the vindaloo is doing that much to your glands to the extent that you're dripping sweat and you have to place, you have to sort of, I don't know, what would be like, bog wash yourself in the kitchen sink to cool down. You're not a fucking bear. Do you know what I mean? You're a man who wears trousers and made his confirmation. You know, you've obligations. You go to the dentist. You pay your taxes. You brush your teeth every now and then. You don't faceplant this kitchen sink with washing up detergent just because you've had a chicken chettonade and burnt the arse off yourself. Dermot, go for something a little bit. Go for the korma, Dermot. The tikka, please. Have a couple of onion badgies. You like the badgies. This is absolutely derangé. Mom, this is mental. This next one to finish this section is, brace yourselves comfortably, okay? The most, we're just going to play it, but I just want to say that I do not condone nor endorse the language or terminology used in this voice note. Strap yourselves in. Let's go.
My mother-in-law shites the door open. I've seen it about 5 or 6 times.
No.
When we go stay in her house, which is probably 3 or 4 times a year, maybe.
No.
Our room that we stay in, myself and my wife's room, is directly across the hallway.
Oh. Oh.
And she doesn't have an ensuite in her room. So it always happens the same time every time. Basically, the same thing happens. You go out the door, always in the morning, and she's on the jacks with the door open. I don't know if you've seen any waiting for someone to come out the door, but I've seen her fanny twice. Which is, she's been mid-squat. Probably not in, I haven't seen her wiping, but I've seen her either just before or just after.
Oh my God.
And she didn't at any stage show any embarrassment. I've flagged it with my wife a couple of times, and she hasn't caught her in the act doing it, so she doesn't kind of believe me that her mother would do it, but it's very fucking strange, and I'm just waiting for the next one to happen.
Mother-in-law and fanny are just two words that should never appear in the same sentence. Much like the Debs and okay, we can't. Oh my God, your face. You're like, delete.
Oh, that's getting the biggest beep you've
ever heard. That is, as you might say, my boy, hold on to your head. They're OJ Ma levels. Good God.
You love shocking me. Christ on a...
My goal today, by the way, is to make Emma Nolan laugh. That's the whole goal of this podcast.
Every week.
Let's just get back to the mother-in-law.
That was shocking enough.
He's seen her five... I'm absolutely flabbergasted. Like, the fact that he says... He describes the sort of crouching and the squatting like as if she's a citizen in Pompeii. Do you know what I mean? Being caught. And then the fact that... What I also... He said that this... He's seen her do the shite five times... But he's only seen the minge two times. That's a 2 out of 5 ratio. What happened the other three? This is all...
It must have been lower crouch.
I don't... I love the way... Sorry. When he says, I raised it with my wife. No, he said, I flagged it with my wife.
Yeah.
As if, like, it's a broken aircon unit. Do you know what I mean? Or a strange smell in the lift, in the office. Like, I flagged it with my wife. Oh, honey, I was thinking, would we consider going back to Portugal for the 98th year in a row? The McDermotts are renting out a place in Dunas Doradus. They've got a timeshare. I know, it's actually, you know, it's not nearly as big as their place in Sandy Cove. But, you know, that's ever since Graham, the breakdown. Yeah, well, they're not calling it a breakdown, of course. I think they're saying it's something to do with the parents. But anyway, would we get... Anyway... I was going to flag to you, by the way. I've seen your mum's minge. Do you know what I mean? How does that... I'm sort of more interested in that family, the Portuguese family. Let's talk about them. So what's going on with those little fuckers? Like, how would you make eye contact and not go, whoop, sorry, babe, whoop, excuse me, sorry. Oh, you know, that's the noise that you make. As I often say in the podcast, Irish people, we've not developed a lexicon or a language to use that if you're in the toilet and somebody disturbs on you, you always just have to go, you blurt something out that you use language that you'd never usually use, like, occupied. Do you know what I mean? Currently engaged. Like, you know.
We haven't even got into the mother. What's she thinking?
She's doing something. This is... Does your wife listen to the podcast?
You need to talk to your mom.
Yeah.
She needs to close the fucking door.
Close the fucking door. Guys, I hope you enjoyed the weekly roast. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoy it, you know what to do. Hit me up on Instagram at Megan Mark. I'm also going to make the return to Instagram. I've been under... I basically had a meeting with my... This is going to sound so cringe, but I met with my agent last week and they're like, you need to start posting on Instagram because you haven't been... You've posted like twice this year and it's just not good enough. So I need to begrudgingly and reluctantly start posting on Instagram again. So I'm going to have to start doing the roasts and posting videos and all of that stuff.
It's fun though.
I struggle with it.
Why?
I just have a really weird relationship with social media and I sort of get into it and then I just like balk and run away and I'm like, oh, this is so toxic, I can't have a relationship with social media because it's bad for you to have a relationship with it. I don't know. Anyway,
and you make other people's social media experience much more enjoyable and safe and fun, so sorry.
Well, thank you.
Better get on with it.
That's a very lovely co-host I have. I said producer. Nevertheless, welcome back to the Weekly Roast. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Hold on to your hats. Hold on to your heads and, of course, hold on to your hearts because we're about to get into a little bit of a sloppy section. We're going to make our way over to the continental mentalists living in Spain, France and occasionally Ireland as well.
Ireland.
Let's go.
When I was in transition year at school, I lived in Spain with a 55-year-old single divorced woman.
Oofed.
With another girl my age, another guy my age. And we had full access to the TV and we could watch Netflix, whatever. And we come in on like the third day there after just meeting her. She had no English, by the way. And we see like just the search history was like just hundreds of porn videos, and we were just scarred. We were like, who is this woman? So she clearly just been like waiting for us to go to bed and just sticking on. There was a certain category that was prevalent in these videos.
The cliffhanger kills me. What is the category?
No, he sent a follow-up.
Oh.
I had to remove it.
Really?
It was...
Can you allude to what it might have been?
Yeah, it was about Spanish women of a certain age being drilled by two... it was basically just like... I think they call it BBC. And it's like...
Oh, yeah.
Every search was like middle-aged Spanish woman, double penetration, BBC, double penetration, BBC. Sailor went to CCC.
And C means yes in Spanish.
It does, very good. We had a Spanish student called Diego that came to our school for about 6 or 7 months whenever we were in second year. They sent him down to Irish college with us.
Well, that's fun.
A complete disaster. He was thrown out after 2 days. The guy couldn't speak English, let alone fucking the Mokanilic. Do you know what I mean? He came in to me after the first day. He was like, "Hey, Marek." I was like, "Yes, Diego, relax with the sort of the Jan sports." Do you know what I mean? And the Metallica interest. But I was like, "Yeah, Diego, what's going on?" He's like, "What is this word? The Banantiki by you then?" I was like, "Sorry?" He's like, "The Banantiki, keep asking me, do I something, Tientos?" I was like, "Sorry?" He's like, "What is the word that you know, Tientos?" I was like, "Tea and toast. She's asking you, do you want tea and toast, Diego? Now get out of here. I'm trying to have a wank in my sleeping bag." Do you know what I mean? Good God. I went through more tissues that summer than 15 funerals. The Archdiocese of Dublin at every single month's mine does not have enough tissues that I went through that summer. Kalash to Akla, Chuck Mureen, Oliva. No, no, actually not Oliva. What else are we talking about? Oh, sorry. French exchange student. I went to Paris.
Great.
I went to Paris when I was... 16. It only dawned on me about 2 years after. This is 100% true. It's not a big long story. 100% true. Went in exchange out into like, it turned out to be a rough enough part of the banlieue, which are like the suburbs surrounding Paris. And I was staying out in an apartment with a family. All gone well. They had 2 daughters. Okay.
Right.
One more French than the next. If you know what I mean.
No, and I don't want to know.
Let's just say the baguettes. We're very fucking, do you know what I'm saying? No, I have no idea what you're leading to. Well, let's just say La Fromagerie. No, no, again, Dad, I have no understanding of what, I know it's disgusting, but I don't know what it's about. Anyway, the girl who was like my counterpart, the French exchange girl.
Yeah.
She started coming up to my room. I didn't realise what was going on at the time. She started coming up to my room at night to watch stuff on my laptop, okay?
Right.
Didn't have a lick of English. Her and Diego would have been bosom buddies. Between the two of them, there wasn't a single sentence on Duolingo, right?
Mm.
She came up one evening after her shower.
Sorry now, who approved this?
Fucking Megan did. Who do you think? Bah oui, vas-y, vas-y.
She came up after her shower.
She came up after her shower. She is French after all. The bloody love there. You can't have a go with the French. Anyway, she came up after her shower in her little dressing gown. When we were watching the movie, okay?
Mm.
Her dressing gown came undone.
Did it now?
Completely, and it wasn't windy, but it came completely open. And I promise you, she's wearing nothing underneath. No, people, not that people tend to wear fucking ski gear or shirt and tie under their dressing gown. But she was just lying there. And you know what I did? I went, "Oh, sorry, Aurora. You need to fix up yourself there."
Right.
And I told, and she closed it and was like, "Okay."
Where were the parents?
I'm going to head off to bed. And that was the end of it. And it didn't hit me until I think probably the week I was doing my leaving cert, which anybody will know when you're spending a lot of days up in your bedroom, there's a lot of distracted fantasizing going on. And it hit me like a fucking freight train. She was coming on to me. I could have lost my virginity that time.
But instead you said?
I said, "You just need to fix yourself up there, Aurore." Her name was Aurore. Ugh, I can never say it. A-U-R-O-R-E.
Well, you rocked that up, didn't you?
Would you look at that? Oliva, let's go.
When I was moving to Dublin for college, my mum and dad thought it would be a good idea to put me in a house with professionals rather than college accommodation. So I ended up in a house with like 25, 30-year-olds. And one guy had a pure sex dungeon in his room.
Sorry.
Like, he had cages. He had like crucifix things up on the walls. Things for hanging people from the ceiling. I'm not even sure if he had an actual bed. I was always too afraid to go in and lock, but he would just leave the door open. There was no shame around it. It just was what it was. Nobody talked about it.
and it was just part of life in the house. But yeah, it was an experience as an 18-year-old.
My God.
Are you sure he wasn't a vampire? That doesn't sound really sexy. Cages, crucifixes, and other than, of course, it could be immediately rules out a vampire. Crucifixes and places to hang people from the ceiling. What the hell is going on there?
Yeah, I wouldn't even think sex. I'd think murderer.
I'd be like, hiya, Declan, can we have a chat upstairs?
I'd probably ring the
just
guards.
Just wipe your paws and arse there before you come into the kitchen. Present yourself, please.
Yeah.
How many episodes of Buffy does this guy? No way. Absolutely not.
Cages?
Yeah. Also, surely when you're meeting people off a flat share group or daft.ie, not that you can at the moment, I know, but like as in, surely if you... Oh yeah, so Kieran, if you ever have to interview, like I remember when I lived in London, you'd always have to interview to stay in a gaff and you have to do this awkward like interview process where you'd be like, oh, so what are you interested in? You'd be like, oh, I'm not that outgoing. Lie. Oh yeah, do you drink? Well, not really. Lie. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Do you play loud music late at night? No. Nah. AirPods. Lie. Do you know... At what point during the interview be like, and what do you get up to in your spare time? Nothing really, yeah. I play a bit of tag with the lads when the weather's warm. And then in the winter, like, cinema. Just enjoy a good old movie night. Cool. What's that with your luggage there? Those. They're just the six cages. Sorry? Just the six cages I like to hang prostitutes from. Do you know what I mean? Good. Absolutely God. No. No, thank you.
Imagine being 18, moving to the big smoke, and that's what you're dealing with. The much older guy with cages in his room. Fucking hell.
Oh, my God. Let's go.
Hi, Mark. I love the podcast, by the way. My late father, God bless him, he thought it was okay to shave at the sink in the kitchen. So you would invariably see my poor father going around in his vest and shaving and left all his stuff, hair, everything in the sink, and didn't see a problem with this at all. Also left his false teeth by the sink also. In more crazy house habits, we used to keep Spaniards all the time from when I was a little girl up to when I was a teenager, which was horrendous. We had so many nut jobs and lovely students also. But I remember being a young 14 or 15 year old teenager, and this maybe 16-year-old boy came to stay for the summer. He was very intense and he used to look at me all the time and wink at me across the table, which was really weird. So when I went down to my bedroom three nights in a row, there were these boob stickers left in my room with a little kiss beside them. That went on for about 3 weeks. Very weird. Also, another student that we had decided that she didn't want to use the bathroom, so decided to defecate, pull back the carpet and defecate underneath.
No.
That was just a little sample of some of the madness that I can remember. Oh, yeah, another one. When I was in college, myself and my good buddy shared with another girl who insisted on staying with us, but she was, let's just say, a little bit difficult. She was always complaining that I was really untidy and, oh, you're so untidy and I have to share a room with you and you're so untidy. Well, when she left and we were cleaning out the flat, what did we find? Only, I would say literally, about 3 months full of boxes and boxes full of tissues.
No.
Empty tissue boxes with used condoms in them.
No.
I'd say about 100 condoms in them.
No.
All used and all left for us to clean. So there you go. Delightful. Thank you.
I mean, that's where, when sustainability's gone too far.
What do you mean?
The 100 Johnnies. Preserving the 100 used Johnnies. Oh. A little soldier, a little army of used prophylactics like that. There's more to unpack here than my first day in therapy.
Yeah.
Or my last day in therapy.
I'm still thinking about the poo under the carpet.
Or any time I go to therapy. The reverse Aladdin, as she called it.
Yeah.
Lifting up the carpet to defecate. That is, I mean, as Irish people, let's be honest, we are fairly well versed in shoving things under the carpet. Do you know what I mean? But usually that sort of familial disagreements, long-term resentments and unaddressed generational trauma. We don't usually mean poo. Do you know what I mean? You don't... Peeling back the carpet. Well, that's the first damage to the property. So that'll be coming out of the deposit. You've played yourself there, Esmeralda. Classically named Spanish lady. Do you know what I mean? Maria. Oi, Maria. Eh, escuchar. Si. That's... Eh. Just... I always feel like I is much sexier than... Oh. isn't it?
Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah.
Grand, you're sexy off the straight out the trap. Spanish people are sexier than Irish having sex. Aye. No, much better than oofed.
What I love is the Spanish word for poop is caca.
Yeah.
And it's very enjoyable to remember the time that when we were kids. So my family live in, loads of my family live in Spain. My aunt moved over.
Oh, this is when your sort of granddad mysteriously moved to Spain for a back issue.
Yeah.
It's around the late 70s. Yeah. Interesting.
But when one of the kids in the pool that day pooed in the pool.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget my cousin shouting at my auntie, "Mama, caca, caca." And I remember
like a fucking holiday eagle.
Caca, yeah. And then my uncle-in-law diving into the pool with a bag trying to pick up some random poo. Honestly,
hell.
From that moment I went, I'm not sure about kids.
Kids' pools and just, oh. Well, okay, so let's get back to this Spanish girl. Wheeling up, okay, lifting up the carpet, that's just derangement. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's mentally ill, really, isn't it? You know, it's like the sort of Salem witch trials. We can look and try and get all scientific and questioning over and go, I wonder what was really going on. Probably just mental illness, do you know what I mean? Probably lifting up a car park. Let's move on to boob stickers.
Yeah.
So he's just walking around with boob stickers. Oh, yeah, I just like to carry these like business cards, except for tits. Do you know what I mean? The sort of mammary glands. If I see a girl that I like, I send these to her as a message. Peel off the sticker. There you are. Two breasts, two nipples, and a couple of X's, just to let you. That's the region of your body that I'm interested in. Do you know what I mean?
Hey, thanks for being clear, though.
Yeah.
Clarity.
Thanks for clarity. Not interested in the fanny, just the two breasts. There you go. All insane. As for your dad around the sink, yeah. I mean, fairy liquid curry head is a lot spicier, but still, it's all just a bit derangement, as you might say, my boy. Let's go.
Mark, I hope you're well. So, basically, I was seeing someone who used to live at home with his mum at the time, and we didn't often stay there, but the odd time we would, and there was this particular Sunday morning, it might have been like my third time staying there, so he was kind of comfortable with me being in her space or their space. So we were just chatting and talking about like the nice things we were going to do that day, and after a while he was like, oh, I'm back in a little while. And I was like, okay, cool. I thought maybe he was going to make tea or going to watch something, I don't know. But after a while, I didn't hear from him. So I went downstairs just to check if he was okay and maybe, you know, make a cup of tea for him. But nobody was downstairs. So I came back upstairs and the door into his mother's room was wide open. So I could hear both their voices. But obviously, you know, I wanted to respect her privacy. So anyway, I went back into his room and just hear from him for way too long, I thought, at that stage. So I texted him and I was like, is everything okay? I thought, like, maybe his mom was sick. I was like, do you guys need anything? And they both shouted from her room and they were like, oh, come on in. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to. But anyway, I just stood in the door and he was all, like, curled up in her arms. So I was just like, I need to get out of here kind of thing. So I was like, oh, I'm going to make tea. Do you guys want anything? And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll be up in a second. So I went down and made tea and didn't talk about it for the rest of the day or for a long time. But it used to be a regular occurrence on a Sunday morning or a bank holiday Monday morning if I stayed over. So I didn't make a habit of staying over. But yeah, three in the relationship and I felt like I was crowding it a small bit. So yeah, but it was, I thought it was strange. I was in my early 20s at the time. He was nearly 30. So that's probably why I found it a small bit strange. But anyway.
Okay, I would disagree and say that there's actually four characters in that story. There was your man, there was his mum, there was her. And then there was this cup of tea that she keeps talking about. Anyone want a cup of tea? So then I said, no, I'll go in and get a cup of tea. Then I went downstairs. Who wants a cup of tea? So anyway, I just thought I'd go and get a cup of tea. This is, hold on to your hats, your heads, your hearts, your houses. This is my boy and girl, Emma, sorry.
I'm here, it's okay.
This is absolutely derangement levels, my little Kessler.
Darling, I know you were young at the time, but you should never have gone back.
Let's just get into it, though. Hold on a second. So you're lying in bed with a fella, right? You've had a bit of a rough and tumble, as they call it, you know? You've rolled around in the hay. You've romped home. Like the last... You've had sex.
Bank holiday Sunday, no early work.
The Lucozade beside the bed, a couple of packets of Banshee Bones, and back at it again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you remember Burger Bites? Yeah, but let's have some Love Bites. And then he disappears in his boxer shorts. You lay there in the sort of post-coital bliss. You light yourself a Marlboro Light. You thumb through an Emily Dickinson novel and you feel like the leading cast member in your own Netflix rom-com. And then all of a sudden, the time goes by. And you go, interesting. Kian
is my sexy lover.
Where is Kian? I wouldn't mind giving him a massage and, you know, popping one of the spots on his shoulder. Then he just doesn't come back. And then when they sort of shout out in unison, like a little perverted choir performing an incestuous symphony, we're in here. Cool, I'm gone. I am gone. And then he's laying in her arms.
Stop.
So there's like...
Unwashed, by the way. Unwashed.
Sorry, post-shag. Potentially still on a semi. you know, lying in his mum's arms. That is into my arms. Oh, Lord, into my arms. Nick Cave. at least the ADH. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm horrified.
Would you get into bed with your mum and record it and WhatsApp to me later? No, would you? Genuinely.
Would I ever hop into bed with my mom?
Yeah.
No, like the closest I've ever got to that is like Saturday morning. I'm at home. She's still like, she's gone back maybe for a nap if she couldn't sleep. And I might go in and sit at the end of the bed and be like, how are you? Any crack? What are we doing today?
Yeah.
But would I get into a bed with my mother?
And would she be sort of lying there like the English patient, like Ray Fiennes, like, you know, she just gestures to her ear as if she can't hear you. What? Mm-hmm. And you have to then lean in close and then... You lay beside her like the final scene of The Notebook. I don't know. This is all just completely insane. There's no rationalising being in bed with your mother.
A 30-year-old man who just shagged his girlfriend to go downstairs and hop into bed with his mother. Get out.
Get out. Make yourself that tea, love. Guys, I hope you're enjoying this episode of The Weekly Roast. Thank you so much to everybody for tuning in and spending your time with us here every single week. If you enjoy the show, let me know on Instagram at Megan Mark. And of course, send it to anybody you know. If you live with anybody, if you've ever encountered a human being in your life, send it to them.
WhatsApp groups are great.
WhatsApp groups are great as well. Thank you so much for listening. Right, guys, it's the final furlong. We have some... It's sort of a whistle-stop tour of insanity now. And we're going to give you some quick bullet point, back-to-back blockbuster bits of madness. Okay, let's go.
Hi, Mark. So, my in-laws have... what they refer to as a slop bucket in the kitchen, conveniently located right between the kitchen table and the oven. They would put the scraps of their food into the bin, but the greatest part of it all is that like they would put the scraps of their food into the bin while still sitting at the kitchen table. So the food is thrown across the room, I guess, and then like often hits the wall and then just slides down into the bucket. So yeah, that's their house habit and utter lunacy, I suppose. I often just like eat all the food that's served to me out of pure politeness and pure not wanting to partake in the food Picasso wall challenge. Thanks.
I adore the reference to the food Picasso wall challenge. As a matter of interest, do your in-laws live in, did they recently move into a house made of stone after having to move out of their former abode built with sticks and, you know, straw?
Yeah.
Because they're pigs, Emma. Yeah, that's the gag.
I get it.
The gag. You're probably all familiar with, all too familiar with the swine related comedy.
Oh,
those little trotters of yours, daughter of swine, of little bacon boy. Anyway, this is completely insane. A slop bucket. Good stuff. We've reached peak savage. This is like when I lived in London, this is the sort of shit that English people, they think all Irish people like this. Oh, I fucking love the Irish. Oh yeah, you fucking mix. You probably have a fucking one of them slop buckets, innit? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. A slop bucket where we all just chew on meat and then off the wall, spit it down into. Oh yeah, just gathering around the slop bucket, spit, cough, anything into it. That is the view the Brits have of us. It's like, have you ever seen that viral video of the farmer at the cattle mart and he's eating raw sausages?
Oh, brilliant.
At the Ploughing Championships.
That helps.
That's the greatest. That's like Lynchian. It's absolutely superb, where we effectively look like sophisticated beasts. You know, we are the missing link between primate and human. And this is a slop bucket. Good stuff. Kick the bucket. Go on, do you have any experience in this?
I do. A friend of mine, when I was in primary school, had a slop bucket. Now, it was a practical slop bucket because there was no such thing as, you know, catching the bit of broccoli you don't want in your plate and fucking it across the kitchen.
Of course not. No, you're not savages.
No.
We treat the slop bucket with a bit of reverence, please. Put your napkin on your lap, shoulders back, and hock the tonsils before. Go on.
It was just for the dog. And it was kind of cool. At the end of the day, it would be a huge amount of fucking slop by reference in my head, like a bit of someone's porridge from breakfast in there as well. A bit of an egg yolk from lunch.
So they'd keep it on the go for the
day.
What a putrid existence by these cave-dwelling, swamp-existing, eyebrows on their arse, fucking... That is... You know you're deep... No. Like that... That is just absolutely feral.
Dog loved it though.
I'm sure the dog did, but the dogs don't get to make decisions in this house.
And the sooner you better fucking realise that.
Don't know, Aidan Gillen.
Aidan Gillen, the actor. I'm always acting. Irish actor. Yeah, me name's, how are you getting on? Me name's Dermot Hannigan. Yeah, I moved across the pond there to London, to your trendy bards.
You grew up in Sandy Cove. Your dad owns Kellogg's. You're worth about what's this accent? You know what I mean? There's one thing I hate, Emma. It's middle class white boys from South Dublin.
Hmm. Interesting that.
Say it. You are one.
I fucking dare you. I fucking dare you. That's Aidan Gillen, actually. I fucking dare you. Let's go.
Hi, Mark. So I'm actually hiding in room in my in-laws at the moment, recording this voice note. But yeah, so my mother-in-law has this weird thing with smells and smells of food in particular, and like won't put onion or garlic into any food because it'll smell, and then she'll smell of it. But anyway, when she's cooking, she will wear a shower cap.
Ah.
So the smell of the food does not get in her hair. And if... My partner's told me before that when he was maybe cooking, say, I don't know, sausages and like a fry for his breakfasts, his mum would go mad and say that he has to wait until she has left the room before he starts cooking because the smell will be in her hair. So there you go.
Hello, is that Dundrum Mental Hospital?
Yes.
Oh, how's it going? Mark here again. Oh, yeah. Listen, I am not necessarily clairvoyant, but I do think that I could potentially preempt that I have a complete and utter psychopath in my hands. Well, this isn't exactly how we work, Mark, as we've told you time and time again, nor can you check yourself in. Nevertheless, what are the signs? She's wearing a fucking shower cap in the kitchen because she doesn't want smells getting into her hair. Oh, God, we'll prepare a bed immediately. Would she like the suite? This is absolutely, like, better to let people get a slight whiff of kitchen from your barnet, right? And for them just to think, oh, she must have been near a meat earlier on, rather than to wear a shower cap around the gaff and to remove any doubt that you are a complete and utter loon. Is she auditioning for a Cypress Hill tribute act? Like, this is completely unacceptably insane.
I love it. I think it's really practical because I've often done it with a towel, even if my hair is dry.
Mm. Is that when you're doing the impression that got you fired from the last? You know the one where you...
if it is a situation like that where someone's cooking something smelly, i.e. fish, I'd throw a towel around my head if I've just washed my hair.
Do the dance that you do. Do the one...
Shower cap all the way. I'm so game.
Oliva, no, we're staying here. Smell of onions and garlic. Smell of onions and garlic. I'm having a stroke. Too many coffees, not enough time.
How many coffees have you had?
I've only had three.
Three?
That's my peak. Any more than that and I'll start hallucinating.
Yeah, I'm close.
I'll be walking down by Grogan's, be like, maybe, you know, maybe a pint's actually not the worst idea.
No!
Anyway, the smell of onions and garlic, by the way, is therapy for the nasal passage.
Do you think so?
Sorry.
I think I could do without the smell of onions for the rest of my life and never miss it.
Get the fuck out of the studio right now. The smell of onions and garlic cooking, by the way, no matter how bad my day has been, if I'm standing over the pan and a light bit of olive oil and the warm embrace, it can only be described as an embrace. The aroma wraps around like a car. You know when a pie is put on a ledge in a 1950s American cartoon?
Yes.
And there's like a pie with the crisscross over and it's put on a ledge and there's a dog asleep at the other end of the garden and the waft of the pie goes up in the air and like forms into like a snake and goes across the garden up into the sleeping dog's nostrils and then his head, his ear, his nose sort of picks up first. That's like me with the smell of onions and garlic in a pan with a bit of olive oil. That is, and then if you're making a bolognese and you have a little sofrito with the celery and the carrots, that smell, it's a hug. It's grounding, it's therapeutic, and it reminds you that no matter how bad your day is, these are the things that count. These primal moments of food preparation, these are the things that you remember on. Emma, I wasn't lying when I said get the fuck out of the studio.
Oh, right.
Get out. No, I'm joking, I'm joking. Yeah, okay, shower cap, she's a loon. I feel like, and I'm not going to go off on one. Not that I haven't been off on one. We do exist in an era where everybody like 55 and older is like, oh, you get diagnosed with anything these days. There's more letters after people's names than the bloody hieroglyphics. I suppose you identify, you know, all that nonsense.
Yeah.
And okay, we have to be honest and we have to embrace that sort of discourse rather than just judge it and say, yeah, okay, there is a lot easier access to getting diagnoses these days. And unfortunately with social media, people are very knee jerk and they're making, you know, there's uninformed or unscientific and unacademic reels doing the rounds and telling people to self-diagnose with various conditions. However, there is also an ocean as vast as the bloody Pacific of people and a generation of those walking amongst us undiagnosed. Mm. Like that is as much as people might say, oh, there's people over-diagnosing these days on social media. There are far more people out there. And it's not an ageist thing, by the way, but it is more consistent with a certain generation. And they're just walking amongst us freely. And so they should be, by the way, they should be free. Let's not.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
But you know, they just going completely undiagnosed. For instance, with my armchair psychologist hat on that nobody likes to see me wear, I would say that this is some form of like genuine, like not misophonia or whatever that is, but something to do with smells where it's mental. Like it's too much of an obsession to not let smells get into your hair. That would be my thoughts.
I do understand that there's probably something a little bit deeper here because it's beyond the shower cap. It's to all smells.
Yes.
So I get that. But I just think if you're going out on a Saturday night and it's 4:30, someone's in the kitchen cooking a smelly fish, I'll use a shower cap to protect the growing.
Fair enough. Okay, fair enough. And we have to remember that like using a synthetic plastic cap to sort of protect the smell of Cheerios from permeating your barnet, you know, aside from the butterfly net's been at the door, it is offensive. It's not as bad as the world's worst genre of male fashion is when a guy, usually in his mid-30s, watches one too many episodes of The Peaky Blinders or spends far too long on David Beckham's Instagram and then makes the what can only be described as cardinal sin of going to a horse racing festival or a few Christmas pints wearing one of those flat peak woolen caps looking like some sort of Victorian unemployed chimney sweep. Do you know what I mean? The wind that shakes the barley. No, the gimp that sniffs the Charlie. Do you know what I mean? You look like an absolute gobshite or somebody providing the evening entertainment on a famine ship. Do you know what I mean? I'd sooner starve than watch this gobshite, what, the flat peak caps on the man that hasn't worn a hat since his, oh, I don't know. Let's go.
Hey Mark, not my family but my best friend's boyfriend, his mom has a timer on the landing for the shower, so you only get 8 minutes in the shower, and if you're not out by 8 minutes the water turns off. And one time my best friend was having a shower there and she jumped in the shower and obviously wasn't finished within 8 minutes. The water went off. She got out and got back in and tried to get another 8 minutes. And the mom stormed up the stairs, banging on the door, saying she'd used her water limit for the day. So yeah, she doesn't stay there often, but 8 minutes to have a shower.
8 minutes is the perfect amount of time for lots of things, by the way.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Like what?
Emma, you see, the thing is, okay, let me just explain a little gender, okay? The right. Fact that you're a female and I'm a married man, and we're in this room here.
Yes.
And
I don't know. Okay, showering anything over 8 minutes, I think, is excessive. Unless you have to do something with your hair. Like, if there's some form of ritual or you're washing your hair, longer than 8 minutes is unnecessary in a shower.
Sometimes it's a big deal. Like, sometimes if it's, like, exfoliate the crap and get your tan off and shave and wash your hair.
Mm.
Jesus, it can add up pretty quick.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, yeah, okay. I suppose I'm on the fence.
Yeah, I think for guys, 8 minutes is quite enough time. But I think if you have a few jobs to do as a gal, it can take a while.
Yeah. Okay.
I cut my hair real short and it's really significantly decreased the amount of time I need to be in the shower, which is great for the environment.
Yeah. Okay, let's go.
It's just the timer outside the door that's fecking a little.
It is.
I remember as a kid, we used to get the sweeping brush under the... Like from downstairs to upstairs when we were in the shower.
Mm.
Like, because we'd take the piss as teenagers. We'd be in there for bloody ages and ages and ages. And it was always like, hurry up, you've been in there for 12 minutes.
I will never forget. I was going out with a girl when I was 14.
Yeah.
True story, right? We went out for dinner with her family, okay? We had been on holidays.
Yeah.
And we had gone skiing. And we're out for dinner on the ski trip, right? And the dad was wearing a Fitbit. This is, I swear to God, this is a true story.
Yep.
Dad's wearing a Fitbit and he was like to my ex's, was 14, it's like my ex's sister, he was like, oh, Lisa, this isn't, the Fitbit's not working. I can't get the Fitbit to work. And she was like, what you mean? And he was like, it's tracking the whole thing wrong, like the heart rate. Because look, there I was skiing, he'd gotten it for Christmas, you know, there I was skiing from the morning 9 to 11, blah, blah. But then look at this, like the... At 3 o'clock, there's this massive thing for like 11 minutes.
Oh.
I was like, Quentin, I was like, well, that was whenever we went back to the room after lunch. And he was like, yeah. And he was like, well, why would that be? And I was like, well, it depends what you're doing in the room. And slowly but surely, everybody at the table just realised that he'd obviously gone back. And
was he with his partner?
Yeah, they had sex, Emma.
Oh, right. Okay, sorry. I thought he was. Okay, that's nice. 11 minutes, good.
Is it?
I don't know.
Let's go.
Hey, Mark. Yeah, this is a very random story. We're all grown-ups now, but back when we were teenagers, my sister, who is still incredibly lazy and hates doing any chores around the house, I can't remember whether it was due to alcohol consumption or eating too much, but she vomited on the carpet. My mother went mad and she said clean it up and hoovered up all the sick and clogged the Dyson. Needless to say, it was just absolutely disgusting and the epitome of being the laziest person ever. But so gross.
It's absolutely horrific. Like the vomiting and hoovering it up, and the fact that it's a Dyson, you because it's a Dyson, you'd actually be able to see it getting sucked up and sort of swirling around like a little Nutribullet of death.
Yuck.
Do you know what I mean? That is. It's like whenever you used to go to Funderland as a kid and people would be getting sick and they just throw sawdust down on it.
Oh, really?
They wouldn't get rid of the sick. They just throw some sawdust. This is like the way I dealt with my mental health issues for many years. You just literally cover it with a bit of salt. So sawdust. So you'd end up standing in it and you'd be standing on vomit, but then the sawdust would act like sausage roll flakes or glitter and claw onto your socks and the fabric of your jeans. Like, that is absolute. When it comes to hoovering, I was thinking about this yesterday. There's a sort of holy trinity when it comes to hoovering. There's three basic levels, okay, of all hoovering. You've got the entry level, which is your Henry the Hoover. Okay.
Yeah.
Sort of consistent suction power, you know, good for most of the house, gets up most things, okay? Then you've got the mid-tier, which is your Dyson, sort of supremely built, you know, but very expensive. They have a boost functionality, which sort of drains the battery, but is very powerful at sucking up, you know, the tiniest of bits. But then at the top of the hoovering totem pole, you know, doing the most hoovering of all time, you've got Emma Nolan and Cafe on Seine on a Thursday night. The sort of the Celtic Tiger Lily in all her glory. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that's me.
Let's go.
How are you, Mark? How's things? Love the podcast. But I have a friend called Shmame Shmundi.
Good stuff.
I just called him that, okay? To hide identities. I was living with him for a while and he would not take a poo at number two. With a screed of clothing on. So every time he had to take a poopy, he'd fucking strip down, pollock naked, in his room, walk across the landing, the way he came to the world. And, yeah, have a poo. I said, what is that on a poo? He said he was afraid to catch onto his clothing, the smell of it or something. So, absolutely starker's taking a poo.
Good stuff. Isn't that, that guy works for the Pentagon or maybe MI6? Shmames Shmundi. Genius. There's no way we could know who that is. I'm going to be honest here. I'm not entirely against this.
I know lots of people who choose to poo.
Disrobe or derobe.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I can get that. I feel like whenever I'm sick, if I'm ever really sick, I will absolutely strip off because I feel like contained. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like I've had UTIs that have been horrendous in the past, and the only way to deal with it when you're stuck to the loo is
just nothing on.
Just, yeah, everything, leave me alone. I just need to be here with my sickness.
I think the worst feeling of all with clothes is if you're ever trying something on in a dressing room, right? You've gone for an ambitious option. Mm-hmm. You've seen a pair of pants that look good on like a 6'3" Spanish guy with a six pack, and you go, oh, I might give those a lash for the summer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're adventurous, but I'll try them on. And you try them on and you look like Judi Dench. Do you know what I mean? It's just a complete disaster. Like, it doesn't work. And then you try and take them off, but you can't get them off. So you're sweating. If you overheat in a dressing room cubicle.
Oh no,
it's the quickest route to rage. And you're trying to get the fucking trousers off and you're shaking your leg and there's no space because the cubicle's tiny, by the way, at you, Massimo Dutti. And you can't get the trousers off and you're like catching yourself in the mirror. And you're like,
I'm an ugly, disgusting, sweaty mess. I don't deserve clothes.
You're like, why did you even think that these would look good on you? And then, by the way, you look at, if you ever buy new clothes, you look at the clothes that you wore into the shop and you're like, you dirty bastards.
You're disgusting.
You disgusting, faulty fucking rags.
That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're obviously going shopping today, right? Guys, thank you so much for listening to The Weekly Roast. It is, as you know, my favourite time of the week. It's so good to be here with you. If you enjoy the show, let me know on Instagram at Megan Mark. As I mentioned on Instagram yesterday, and as I mentioned throughout the show, I am going to start doing some video related stuff regarding the roast on Instagram. I need to get back onto it. I'm dreading it, but it has to be done. So, yeah, hit me up on Instagram at Megan Mark. Thank you for listening. Any suggestions on what you want roasted, let me know. We've got a lot to get through. Hope you're enjoying the slight change in weather. Hope it's marginally lifted your spirits. That is, of course, if your spirits needed lifting. If they ever do, you're always coming to the right place. Does that make sense? Yeah, it makes sort of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, have a good week. Take care of yourselves. I'll see you next Wednesday. All the best.